This message this morning is one of a stronger nature. Spiritually, I hope and pray that the message this morning for God's people, it will strengthen your faith. Amen. Brother Mike had mentioned that this morning. I'd been thinking about that this weekend, how that our faith needs to be strengthened. And it's strengthened by the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not just strengthened because we do, you know, we feel that way. Faith doesn't have a whole lot to do with our feelings. It has everything to do with trusting in God's Word. And so I do hope that this, for the believer, helps you, strengthens you. If there is someone here that's lost, I pray that this brings you to saving faith.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 3, and I'll begin reading at verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, in as much as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God.
Amen.
And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? But we see that they could not enter in because
of unbelief. I want to look at verse number 12, where he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In this chapter, we are looking and we are seeing an example given of the days of Moses when he had brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And they were called the children of Israel. They were all together, but not all believed. They were all, many, walking together, traveling the same way. They brought the same sacrifices, but some of them had a heart of unbelief. Their heart was not transformed, in other words. And there are some things that we can see in Scripture that causes a heart of unbelief. And we'll talk about that this morning. We'll talk about the latter part, Lord willing, this evening, and that is the departing from the living God, the apostasy that comes from unbelief. Because eventually that's what takes place. A departing. People that have unbelief in their heart. And unbelief is the sin that takes people to hell. I know Paul listed in Corinthians several sins, and he said, know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But all those things are a result of unbelief. The core of unbelief. It is not believing God's word, not believing in Christ. Jesus said, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He didn't say if you do this or do that or do that. He said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. One of the first things that I want us to see in this is ignorance. Ignorance, and not by, you know, a deficiency of means. I mean, there are a lot of people that have heard a lot and are still ignorant. Amen? It's not because of a want of instruction, in other words. Or, you know, the instruction of the doctrines of the gospel. Many people have heard it and been taught it, but yet they are still ignorant. And it's a darkness that blinds the minds of those who are not truly united to Christ through faith. They still have a heart of unbelief. Somewhere, I mean, somebody may have all knowledge. Paul's talked about that. You know, having all knowledge, and yet you can be ignorant on the spiritual scale. Amen? I mean, it's not what you have up here, it's what you have in here. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Romans 10. Amen? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And the character of every unbeliever, everyone, I mean the ones that have a lot of knowing as well as them that don't have a lot of knowing, is that they know not God and obey not the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul said. They know not God nor obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the rejection and the refusal, listen, of God's testimony. You remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53? Who hath believed our report? The report of God, the report of the prophets, the report of the angels. Listen, God in the book of Hebrews said that God hath spoken to us at sundry times in diverse manners, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So the rejection of testimony, God's testimony. There are a lot of people that pretend to agree to God's divine testimony. And they do it not, you know, in a certain manner on, some proper grounds that they think, you know, that they have. But what are the reasons? There are many reasons why people would not believe. One is the testimony of their fathers. How many times people have believed what Grandpa said because Grandpa said it? Over what God said. We've all got family who may not even crack the book of Revelations open because of what some great grandfather said. But God said, "Blessed is he that readeth and understandeth." Amen. I mean, that's just one part. I mean, God have mercy that anybody would be ignorant simply because they're believing something they wholeheartedly believe is biblical. But they are ignorant. Ignorant. And they reject. That ignorance causes them to reject God's testimony. Open them up to God's testimony. Say, look here. This is what thus saith God. You're going to take what Pop said, or you're going to take what God said. Now the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Every man. I can remember placing a lot of stock, heavy stock, great stock in my grandfather. And rightfully so, he was a Bible preacher. But I can remember the day, almost, I can remember the Spirit of God saying, let no man deceive you, not even him. And boy, to swallow that, I thought, well, he wouldn't deceive me, but God was showing me, if that man that I had so much stock in, knew to be a Bible preacher, ever said anything that was crossing to God's Word, to not let him deceive me, to believe God overall. You see, God wants our reverence above all. Amen? That's right. He is the hero of the Word. Amen? Oh yeah, the one that's always right. That's right. Amen. And we need to see that and reverence God so. We always need to see Him and say yay and say amen to what God has said. There are many that do that. And but such a, you know, an agreement, such a assent, if you want to say it that way, is not what accompanies salvation. If a person's truly saved, they're not going to have that in them to follow man over God. What you're going to have is the authority of God pressed upon your heart. That's what accompanies salvation. Real Bible salvation, it puts the impression of God's authority on your heart. Amen? And it manifests itself very powerfully in your conscience and in your heart. Because now you've got something that says yes and no, right and wrong. And it commands, it doesn't ask. Are you listening? That's the authority of God's Word. That's what accompanies true salvation. Not, I'm saved and I'm still making my own decisions. That doesn't accompany salvation. You're not your own anymore, not after salvation. Amen? I mean, it's like a stamp that's been placed upon you and I. Amen. God has taken the hammer of His Word and broke the stony heart. Amen. Given us a heart of flesh and impressed upon it His command. Thank God for that. But that rejection can come by some agreement to man and not God. It can come through a stubbornness even. A stubbornness. A heart, that's what I'm talking about. A heart that's still hard. He said, in the harden not your heart, as in the day of the provocation. You know what was killing those Israelites with God? Stubbornness. A hard heart. And even into the days of Christ, just a hard heart. We're of our father Abraham. And looking right at Jesus. Are you listening to me? Right at God in the flesh. And couldn't see salvation. That's how hard-hearted they were. That's how stubborn men and women can be. Amen? With a heart, again, man believeth. A man's heart must be changed, and they will. That saving change, amen? That's what that saving change that happens. You believe that? If any man be in Christ, he is what? A change, a new creature. There's a saving change. Thank God for it. Amen. And listen, until then, as one writer said, that heart of stone remains absolutely impregnable until the Holy Spirit takes the hammer and breaks it. There's nothing anybody can say to get in there. It's hard. It's like an impregnable fortress that nobody can get in what's already in there. What they've already got solidified in there. Amen? It's hardened. It's like something, like a pot that's already been set in the heat. God has to break it, remake it. What causes a heart of unbelief? Stubbornness. Rejection of the person of Christ. Pure unbelief. I mean, remember, again, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sin. What was it that John said, little John, in 1 John, he said, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, you must, to believe Him to be God, manifested in the flesh. But a rejection, there are whole religions that reject that, Him. They reject Christ. They reject His person. That's a hard unbelief. I don't care how religious they are. They have a heart of unbelief if they cannot see that He is who that He said He is. God in the flesh. Amen? Oh, yes. I mean, the very act of faith consists of receiving Christ. That's what real faith is. Receiving Christ. Not just anything. Not just anybody. Not religion. Amen. And not just some words. But receiving Christ in your life. That's what real faith is. Well, if that's real faith, real unbelief is rejecting Christ. Amen? Rejecting Him. A rejection of His righteousness. Of Him that He is. Many people, they do it sometimes. Some people are very open. They hear His name. They don't want to hear His name. You know that's unbelief. Then there are some that use His name or religion as a cloak for their sin. Just religious, you know, I believe. But really, I mean, they're a sinner like they've always been. They just put a cloak on, the cloak of, you know, his name, you know. And it's a cloak for their sin. That sin that they're going to continue to do. People, you know, they have it in their mind that, you know, they've given their heart to Christ while they still have some hidden lust they hold firm to. Give your heart to Christ, you're going to turn loose all that. Amen? It's what a lot of people don't want to say today, repentance. A lot of preachers don't want to talk about that word today. But repentance and faith go hand in hand. And that's what brings a heart of faith and receiving Christ. Not leaving you with a evil heart of unbelief. The evils of the sin, see? The evil heart of unbelief. A refusal on the part of those that hear the gospel to believe what God has said. Or they do it with only a particular, like a lot of preachers call buffet Baptist. I just pick and choose the word that I want for my life. That can cause a heart of unbelief. It is a heart of unbelief. It's not just causing it. It's a manifestation of a heart of unbelief. Because you don't believe some of it. You believe some, you don't believe other. You believe some of it, don't believe all of it. You take some of it, but not all of it. We take Him as Savior, dying. We take Him as a babe. Do we take Him as a prophet? Do we take Him as priest? Do we take Him as king? You see, to receive Christ, you must receive Him prophet, priest, and king. It's His word, that's the prophet. The priest, that's His work on the cross. That's Him, amen, waiting to wash your sins away. Hey, that's where a lot of people get. But then king, that He is Lord of your life. All of Him, amen. Don't leave your heart in unbelief. Don't just believe He is part. Believe He is all that He is. There comes a disobedience. A disobedience. We hear this is the commandment of God, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. But unbelief spits at this commandment, tramples it underfoot. They say, who is the Lord that we should obey Him? Isn't that what the Scripture said? Who is He that we should, who is the Lord that we should obey Him? So, when you hear this morning, look into your knowledge. Look into your knowledge. Is it supernatural, saving knowledge? Has it convinced you that you are naturally ignorant? Have you ever seen that? And that your absolute need is Christ? Christ, who is God? That's what a supernatural knowledge will do. It'll show you Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was there not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's what that supernatural power will tell you. And as Paul said, it is made unto you wisdom. Now you know, you have this, and it came supernaturally. A heart of unbelief didn't kick back on that. Look at your knowledge. Look at your nature. Your nature. Is your nature in agreement to what God said? Did you realize you had a hard heart at one time? Did you trust the promise? Did you call on His name? Repent and believe? Judge Him faithful that promised. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's the only true foundation. Amen? Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for that. The one true foundation. Does your nature agree to that? Yes. He is my foundation. Amen. You can get stirred about that. Amen. You got something on the inside of you now. Amen. That's a new nature. It's not the old nature anymore. The old nature, you know, it always throws the wall up. How about that stubbornness? Still got a stubborn heart? Preacher preaches, doesn't matter who he is. Is it the Word? Are you accepting of that Word or rejecting of it? Do you look at it and say, I truly want to see God's Word. The last pulpit that was up here, it's still in the men's prayer room. It's got a little tag on it that says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Amen. That's the new nature that's crying out. Amen. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Amen. We want to know Him in His Word. We want Him manifested. Amen. His way, His holiness, not mine. His righteousness, not mine. Because, see, the new nature takes upon itself His righteousness. I'm not good enough. I saw that. I wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough in myself to go to heaven. Nothing good enough I could do. His righteousness. I'll never forget my oldest brother's wife. My sister-in-law, bless her heart. I love her, pray for her all the time. She was raised in Catholicism like my wife was. And I remember years ago when I pastored over at Dry Creek Missionary Baptist Church, my brother had come in. He's in the military, and they had come in. They had a short break. I think it was a month or so. And I talked them into coming over there. They came over there. Boy, she got under Holy Ghost conviction. And I was real worried, you know, whether she in one service could comprehend what was happening. But you could see it on her. I remember her standing up, and I said, "God do anything for you this morning?" She said, "Well," she said, "I've tried to do my whole life. And I realized this morning that He could make me good." She said, "I've tried to do good my whole life. But I realized this," that's what it was. "But I realized this morning He could make me good." That was good enough for me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He is the one that makes us good. It's His righteousness. Glory to His name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all His benefits. That's one of them, amen. He makes us good. He makes us right. That work He does in our lives, amen. If you'll obey from the heart, delight in the ways of God. I mean, habitually, it's you're leaning more on that side than you are the other side. See, when you're a sinner, every now and then you might try to open up a can of goodness, and it just never lasted because you was a sinner. Well, now that you're truly saved, you have a heart of faith of Christ. Now your heart is habitually going toward Him. It's like a baby to its mama, constantly going in that direction, wanting that gives life, that loves. Amen. Yeah, you understand that, don't you? Amen. Not the love of sin anymore, the love of a man, a God-man. Amen. He that birthed us into the kingdom, amen, that takes out the heart of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief, and replaces it with that heart of faith. Praise the Lord. Ignorance. And ignorance. The Bible says, "This day willingly are ignorant." Things that are told in the Word. And Peter said, And this, they're willingly ignorant. Over in Thessalonians, he talked about them that believed not the truth. They received not the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. People that's going into the tribulation period. It was a rejection. And it's an ignorance, a certain kind of ignorance. They've heard, they just don't believe. They have an evil heart of unbelief. I'm about done. The example that the Apostle Paul, we believe, wrote Hebrews. Some people may say somebody else, but most of my life I was just always taught that the probability looks more like the Apostle Paul. Anyway, it's God's Word. It's here. It's in God. Amen. It's not Paul's, it's God's. And God was talking about those Israelites that traveled with Moses. He said in verse 10, or verse 9, look at verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, here's what they did. They do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Two things. They erred in their heart. They've not known my ways. They were ignorant. They were rejecting of God's way, God's word. And so God swearing, he said, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And then he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Somebody among us. Verse 13, he said, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin is what keeps people in unbelief. Those sins are like a fuel for unbelief. Unbelief is what's causing people not to go to hell, but sin, those sins is like a fuel that fuels unbelief. The pleasure that they still desire in the flesh. So you can't bring that along with you. Not in the saved life. Not in the life believing. Not saying that a saved person can't sin. A saved person can sin. I'm saying that habitual life, the way it was, is over. And if it's not, you need to look at your heart. Deceitfulness of sin. See, sin deceives people. For if we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto end, there is a fruit of salvation, a transformation. It's not people that just rise up and say, I believe, but it's those that, I mean, you can see it. The nature's changed. It remains changed. It's never going back that way. It has been supernaturally made new. John said, they would continue on with us if they had known. People that are truly transformed. They've not somehow remained with a heart of unbelief. And you've heard some different ways that that happens this morning. How about it? For those that are saved, take this. Take the parts in there that God blessed us with this morning that recognizes true salvation, the work of Christ in your life, what He has done for you, what has happened in your life, and let it be a strength to you. I want you to stand this morning.